Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, magnificent Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For you are great. You're the miracle so great. There is no one else. There is no one else.
There is no one else.
You are great, Lord God.
You are great. You do miracles so great.
There is no one else.
There is no one.
You are great, oh God.
You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
There is no one else like you, Lord.
There is no.
Hallelujah. Sorry we started the first service late for us for sin circumstances. The title of today's theme is It's Time to Fulfill Prophecy. I thought you'd be excited. I said I thought you'd be excited. I heard, woo, woo, woo. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you excited? Why is woman of God far from her husband? No, no, no. Bring woman of God to her husband. Hallelujah. Help up, Donald. Glory to God. It's been a while. I saw them. I've seen them for a long time. I'll greet people, especially after service. I've been asking about two of you. Just that our ushers didn't have detail, correct details. Welcome. Hallelujah to Jesus. Can you turn to your left and right and welcome somebody specially to church? And smile, smile. Smile. You know, way back there's this song we used to sing, Smile, Jesus loves you. That guy is burning his face, frowning his face. Why? What's it happen? Are you happy now? Eh? Let's shake. Jesus loves you. A guy. Hallelujah to Jesus. Smile, Jesus loves you. I say, smile, Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. While I was thinking of today's topic, there's one song that was just ringing in my heart. You are God alone. From before time began. You are you. And you are God. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are God alone. One more time. You are God alone. You are. You are God alone.
You are God alone.
All right, it's time to fulfill prophecy. One point, God speaks according to what he can do, not what we can do. God speaks according to what he can do and not what we can do. Hallelujah. So for instance, if God tells you today you have a car by 6 a.m. tomorrow, in all human capacity, you are not prepared. You don't know anybody that probably will give you a car. But he said that because of what he can do, not what you can what do. Are we together? And every time we read God's word, there's always this unrest in our heart as human beings. Because his ways are not the ways of a mere man, and his thoughts are not the thoughts of a mere man. Are we together? You know, except you get so used to the things of God, you, at the first point, you know, the first moment, you doubt to the fairest extent, and it's understandable. For instance, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord searches all things, yea, the deepest things of God. That's 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. That the Spirit of the Lord searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Then it says in verse, I think this is 9 and 10, right? All right. Verse 9. Let's see verse, okay, verse 10, right? Eyes has not seen, okay, ears have not what? It has never entered into the hearts of men what the Lord has prepared for those that what? That's me and you. Are you alive in church today? Yes, verse 10, let's read together. Verse 10. For the Spirit of the Lord, but God has revealed them to what? For the Spirit searches what? Yea, the deep things of God. Hallelujah. Now, verse 11. Everyone read out loud, inside, outside. Outside, are you here? Want to read? For what man knows the things except which is even so? By God, verse 12. Want to read? Who is in that system there? We need to wait. Wait. Who is it there? Lay hands. He wore bow tie. Let's read together what to read. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that what? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? And the Bible says you might. That means it is possible to be filled and not know. You have the Holy Ghost and he's the potency. He is the reason why you are supposed to know all the deep things of God. And so if you have the Holy Spirit and we speak the word of God, you can relate. If you understand the function of the Holy Ghost on your inside. Meanwhile, naturally, any mere man will not be able to receive the things of God. The Bible says because they are spiritually discerned. So if he tells you, for instance, you are above and not beneath, when you are beneath, it will be difficult to believe. Are we together? If he tells you that you are supposed to be rich and not poor, it will be difficult to believe because you are trying to weigh this prophecy from wherever you are, from the situations around you. Are you listening? But when you become full of the Holy Spirit, it will be easy to accept the things of God because they are spiritually what? Discerned. Alright, so like I was saying, if God tells you you're going to have a car tomorrow morning, you will doubt. It is natural to doubt if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost and are not familiar with the things of God. If God tells you you're going to marry this year, some of you will doubt. I just sense something in my spirit that there's a lady marrying this year and she has not even met the man yet. Thank you, dear sister. I like people with faith. You know, some people are like, how will this kind of thing happen? Yeah. I mean, I just saw it. I sense it so strong in my spirit that you're marrying this year. Now, the proud ladies are like, I don't need a man. You all know you need a man. And God has given you your man in Jesus' name. See how you people are looking like you don't need a man? I hope this prophecy doesn't pass you by. Hallelujah to Jesus. Whoosh. I just sense the game in my spirit. And this prophecy, you know, you people should sit down. Let me see. Sit down. You can receive while sitting. This prophecy is moving towards a direction. That man there, that engineer, is he engineer or builder or civil engineer? Can you stand? I sense the fire from my heart to your heart. The Lord said I should tell you about a car. I don't know if that has been in your heart. I know everybody wants a car, but not everybody are in faith for a car. It takes impetus to be in faith. I'm sensing so strong the Lord wants to give you a car.
Hallelujah.
So strong. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Now we are not guessing, no. We are speaking by the Spirit. Elisha said, by this time tomorrow. He said, they'll be buying and selling in this city full of chaos. By this time tomorrow. The Bible said the man whom the king leaned on, special advisor to the king, said, is it the window of heaven that it will take? Because he said God will open the window of heaven. He thought the window of heaven is like every other window. I mean, I'm talking about that window that Lord promised you that when you give your tithe, you open the window. So he thought that window is like every other window. He said, what will it through a window? God will do that. Even if God comes down. With the situation in our city, it is not possible for buying and selling to be happening. Not just buying and selling. He said the best things will be sold for a shekel. Meaning the economy will be very, very okay. It's like saying tomorrow fuel will be 100 naira.
Hallelujah.
If you are the special advisor to the king, to Tinubu, you may say this kind of thing by the window of heaven. It's difficult to believe. Then Elisha said, okay, you're mocking the things of God. The window of heaven. He said, okay, you will see. But you will not touch. Glory to God forevermore. He said, you shall see, but you will know what? You will not touch. Hallelujah to Jesus. And you know, there's something I saw about this many years ago while I was studying the Bible. 2 Kings 7. Let's see verse 6. A man of God pointed this and I agree so strongly. From verse 6, he said, for the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of what? Chariot. And the noise of what? Horses. The noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. They were shouting and they fled. They ran for their lives. Do you know this never happened? The king of Israel was just sitting in his palace. Nothing was happening. He did not hire any other king. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? But see what the Lord has said in verse 4 verse 6 happened before verse 4. But let's read verse 4. Give me verse 4. If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we will die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall only die. They are thinking they are people in the city, in the kingdom of the Syrians. They were thinking they are people there. So they said to themselves, let's go. The lepers, perhaps if they are there, we'll die. Probably they may pity us and give us food to eat. If we are sitting here too, we'll still what? Die. So let's stand up and what? Go. Not knowing that the Lord has already caused the situation. Are you guys here tonight? He had already what? Caused a situation. What was the situation? He had given them, you know, he probably, I wouldn't say lied to them. He created a situation, some sort of, that made it look as if the king of Israel was coming with so much chariot and etc. They heard noise. They were in their city. They heard literal noise. They were coming from afar and they ran for their lives. Meanwhile, nothing was happening like that. You know, when I was reading this part of scripture, I said to myself, indeed, what you hear has a great effect on you. And the Lord understands that more than anybody. So he made them to hear that kind of thing, and fear entered their heart, and they ran away. If God says, go and get something, though, it's because he has already made a way. That's what I'm trying to make you understand. That's why I say verse 6 happened before verse 4. They were thinking, should we go? If we sit here, we'll die. Blah, 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 blah. King of the Egyptians and the Hittites. There are too many. Let's run for our lives. And they ran away. Meanwhile, nothing like that was happening physically. It was God just playing his own stunts. Throwing his own stunts. Doing his own thing. Making a way where there seems to be no way. He caused a situation, they ran away for their lives. But you see, the most interesting part of this scripture is that verse 4. Do you know actually the man who the king leaned on, the advisor of the king, like the Bible said, he did not enter. He saw it, but he did not partake of it. According to the story, if we go ahead and read, the special advisor of the king did not enter into this glory. But he saw it. Things are changed in the city. What happened? The Syrian king and all of his cabinet, everybody ran for their life. The lepers, who were like the nobodies, who they threw outside the city, were the first partaker of this prophecy. While the king was there, wondering, doing the calculations with all the human wisdom, lepers said to themselves, if we sit here, we will die of hunger. Because they always used to survive of the remains of the Egyptians. Now the Egyptians are not, the Israelites are not eating well. Talk less of to give some food to the lepers. Lepers said, if we sit here, we'll die. If we go there, they probably may kill us. Let's choose which die is better. At least this die there has better option. Probably they may not leave us and give us more food and not kill us. And something came to my heart. If you have what to lose, a lot of times you will not fulfill prophecy. What if I lay hands, especially for preachers, what if I lay hands on the person and he does not get well? You know why you think like that? Because you wanted the glory. If you have nothing to lose as a preacher, you lay hands there. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Learn from them. They had nothing to lose. They had nothing to lose. God was their option A and option A. And B and C and D, God alone was their option. Nothing else. That's why some of us will pray. And even though it doesn't seem like it's working, we'll keep on praying. Because our only option is who? God Almighty. Are you listening to me? And we are not second guessing in prayer. We know we'll fulfill prophecy. I know I'm great. I don't need anybody's advice that I'm great. The word of God is enough. It's the surest word of prophecy. You know, some of you that play Bet Ninja, I've heard this statement before. They call it sure odd. There is no sure odd like the word. Yes, it's the surest word. Somebody appear, comes to you. I wanted to announce it. Let me use the word appear. Somebody appears to you. Pew. Hey, Samuel. Who is Samuel in this place, for instance? Eddie Samuel? Okay, let me use Richard. Hey, Richard. You are going to die tomorrow by 12 p.m. And it's with a white robe. I am an angel from the Lord. I'm sounding like one Nigerian Nollywood star. And it says, you shall die tomorrow by 12 p.m. Thus says the Lord. Then Richard begins to cry, God, why do you want to kill me? What do you tell that so-called angel? Remove this camouflage, let me see your blackness. Because you are not an angel, you are a demon. You used to be an angel. I remember my role model, Prophet Kubus, he said, he had a vision and an angel was saying something that was not in the Bible. So he was wondering, but that means I led people wrongly? I've been leading people wrong. And I said, no, that's not what the Bible means there. And as he was declaring the word of the Lord, he looked at the angel. His eyes seen. His nails were long. Suddenly the face changed and the angel wanted to come. Ah! And he spoke to the angel and the demon cut and tore into pieces and scattered. But he almost fell for the lie of the devil because he appeared as an angel of light.
So the greatest people upon the face of the earth are those that stay on the word. They know the word of God and stay on the word. Daniel said, they that know their God, they shall be what? Strong. And they shall do what? Exploit. Not some people waiting for, leveraging on some so-called visions. Or so-called speakings of men. And that's why I tell you people most of the times here, that you see some messages that tell you, suggest to you to look for an encounter. They are rubbish messages. You can quote me anywhere. They are rubbish messages. The greatest encounter you can ever have is an encounter with God's written word. If you want to hear a rhema, start with the Logos. He has said something before. Stay on what he has said. He will give you a special revelation there. Are you listening to me? And the greatest encounter any believer can ever have is an encounter with the word by the Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit who knows all things. You know, one time I was somewhere and some people were speaking with so much indiscipline. And I'm wondering what is the hope of the faith. No discipline. I was speaking to Moses and Moses told me this. I was speaking to Elijah. I saw that I was really embarrassed. And I asked my friend, I said, what are we doing in this place? You know, when we're growing up, they've not even become born again. We're in the barracks just this. And I said, can't you stand up? He said, I'm going to do it. He stood up and he started scattering. In fact, one of them told in the meeting, started saying he wants to mark register. That some people's name are not in the book of life. And he said, I'm marking register. And people were crying. He will come to you and say, it's not. I said, what the heck is this? And thank God for my friend. He stood up and called all of them to the front. We just say, let us enter the barracks and see how the barracks. We used to set, we set that barracks on fire. So I wanted to come and see what was happening in the barracks. Inan told all of them, sit down. So I'm mentioning the problems. He said, you are marking register. You are speaking with Elijah. You are all confused. What did Elijah tell you? That the Holy Spirit has not told you before. Do you know Elijah was not privileged to live on the earth with the Holy Spirit? You have the Holy Ghost. You know what it means to have the Holy Ghost? They think it's mini God. You have the major God on your inside. The Spirit of God is not a mini God. He is the Almighty God. You have God Himself. Not for a period of time. For eternity, as long as you're on the earth. And in the reign of the kingdom, you house God Himself. If you look at the end of the prophecy of the book of Revelation, it says, rejoice, for the tabernacle of God is now with men. This is a reality forevermore. The tabernacle of God is human beings. This is how He wanted it to be at the beginning. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? That's why Jesus came to make sure this is possible. Because God in the beginning was supposed to reign through Adam. And that's how it will be in the end. Are you here tonight? When Paul spoke about some young ministers in the scripture, he was advising Timothy. He said, don't follow those boys. They are carrying wrong doctrines on their head. For instance, they had one wrong doctrine they called old wife fables. Old wife fables. It was a doctrinal, one stupid doctrinal belief. Paul said, run away from those jargons. At a point, he now called it doctrines of devils. They sound intelligent. They sound powerful, but they are not powerful. You know, one time I was speaking to a young man. He was suffering from a severe addiction. But when I checked, when he came for counseling, I had already seen one of his videos before. I believe God wanted me to see it because of how God wanted me to advise him. Mysteries of the Immortals. So I noted it down. So when he came to me and told me he was suffering from something severe, an addiction, I said to him, I said, you are causing this problem. So I went to his Facebook. I said, what is the meaning of mysteries of the immortals? I said, explain this message to me. You are saying jargons. It sounds spiritual because you call immortals inside. Mysteries. And at a point I saw that he was saying something like Elijah is a system, not a person. I said, what do you mean? What the hell do you mean by that statement? I'm not beefing Elijah. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But the least in the kingdom is greater than the one that was greater than Elijah in the Old Testament. Elijah is not the greatest in the Old Testament. Of all men born of women, none is greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom, who is the least in the kingdom? The last person that became born again. You know, we're doubting ourselves because you think if they say picture Elijah, he has his staff and he's working like you are working with suit and bow tie. So you think you are less powerful. Just the way you go to Igbo lands and when you see a man tie red bandana and hold some irons and you begin to think he's so powerful. But you seated there with your lip gloss, you don't know you are the most powerful being that's ever hit the head outside Jesus Christ. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. You house the major God. Not the minor God. How many of you house God in this place? You think that's a joke? You house God and a demon demons are planning you to kill you? Not possible. And I told him, you need to understand Jesus. It's just like you went to the university. You want to become a doctor. But you like coding. You like programming. So instead of focusing on anatomy, physiology, and the rest, you like to program. Every time we see in computer science department. Now you are boasting that you are a programmer. This is a doctor. This is a doctor. He is boasting. It's not a bad thing to program. But what you need to become a doctor effectively is not programming languages. It's anatomy, physiology, and you can call the rest of them. But you know you are very good in programming. So you end up not graduating as a doctor. Or you end up staying in school for so long and you quit school. Paul spoke about people like that in scripture. He said, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Because their desire is not to know Jesus. It's to understand things in the Bible that are not even relevant to them. You look at somewhere in this generation saying he's reading the book of Enoch. You have not finished reading the books of the Bible. What are you looking for in the book of Enoch? Say, there are some mysteries that I need here for my assignment. You don't need anything there. You are only confused. One time I told you people about the book of Thomas. But will I start majoring on those things? We'll be confusing our generation. Looking for unnecessary arguments. I was sharing with the leaders yesterday. We all boast about men of God like Pa Kenneth Hagin. We boast about men of God like Smith Wigglesworth. You can name them, many of them. We're excited about them. I say, go and study about them and see if they did these crazy things we are doing today. I was teaching them about music and trends. That I found out that in this generation, young people like trends. They like trends. They don't know Jesus. They just like trends. Any new thing that comes, everybody will follow that road. A worshiper is singing the way God is helping him minister. He's ministering by the influence of the Holy Spirit. He sees somebody not speaking English again, singing much in English. He's singing much in other tongues. Then he switched to. You come to a congregation, instead of singing the finished work of Jesus, you are just doing from the beginning to the end. And it's not a believer's meeting where only believers are there. But because you saw somebody doing it, you followed. Now look at now, in the whole world, if you observe, people that sing English, their song reach more people than people that sing in other tongues. God uses their song to change people more than people that sing in other tongues. Tongues is for personal edification. That's what the Bible says. You cannot be building yourself while looking at people. I'm not saying you wouldn't sing in song in between the in tongues in between the lines. You probably would, but of course more in English. Like I was talking to my leaders, I said, I'm not trying to shade this guy. But I was on YouTube one time, I saw somebody say, I don't speak English. I don't sing English. I sing spirit. And I said, what the hell are you using to sing or speak this spirit? If it's not English. You know, it's desire without knowledge. How the hell will you tell me I don't sing English? I speak spirit. Speak spirit. We need to wake up. Oh. Jesus was not odd in scripture. He was not unnecessarily odd. Let me put it like that. Jesus just came somewhere and there was a woman with an issue of blood and he did, disciples, bring me 10 stones. And the Bible says Jesus hit his leg 3 times on the ground. Say, woman, rise up. Run like this. Run like this. Run like... No! Straightforward. Somebody was born blind, and the Pharisees, more like deliverance ministers. Whose fault for this boy to be born, this man to be born blind? They were asking Jesus, tell us the fault. Let us deal with the foundation problem. He has foundation issue. What was the reason for this man to be born blind? Is he his father? Is he his mother? Is it the demons in his father's house? And Jesus looked at them and said, stop those funny questions. It doesn't matter who the hell caused this guy to be blind. Because, you see, there's something major here. The one that can change all things is here. He doesn't need to know the roots. The blindness is not supposed to be there. In the name of Jesus, the eyes were opened. Shekinah. Nobody spoke about the foundation problem. Now I'm talking to you and I now. Forget about the roots. Trust Jesus now and receive your healing. Trust Jesus now. In my family, there's this. People don't get rich. Forget about that rubbish. If anybody be, is a what? Forget about it. I'm going to burn the altars in my father's house. What is wrong with you? You are the one amplifying the power of the devil. Didn't you read in your Bible? Hebrews 2 and 14. He that had power over death has been made impotent. In the Amplified Rendition. He had power. He doesn't have power. He used to have power. He doesn't have power. Now in my mind, Satan has no power. I don't know about your heart. I attack life from these parameters. You don't have power. So when somebody influenced by Satan threatens me, I'm not moved. Because I know that he and his boss don't have power. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Are you listening to me? This is how you know. When you know there's nothing against you. Paul speaking, he said, seeing all these things God has done for us. If God be for us, hallelujah, who can be against us? If God be for us. Now, is God for you? You believe God is for you? The Bible said no one can be against you. So you don't start prayers like this. Now everything against me. No, there's nothing against you. You are the one attacking yourself. You are setting yourself up. When you speak outside God's word, there is no prayer outside revelation. It is not prayer. It is more like clanging cymbals. In 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible says, if you pray without love, the knowledge of God, God is love. It said it is more like what? A clanging cymbals. A clanging cymbal. You can't be speaking without revelation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When you wake up from your bed, anything against me? No, nothing is against you. God is for you. The force of the Almighty is for you. When the enemy tries to come like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard. The flood is not the enemy. The flood is the Holy Spirit standing as a standard against the enemy. There's a flood on our inside that can flood every flood coming against us. There's a fire on our inside that can fire any fire against us. Our God is a consuming fire that consumes any fire. That is why when the Hebrew boys got into the fire, they were not consumed. Because the consuming fire stepped in. No, nothing can stand against us. Now these are attack life. And that's why I always win. I always win. Every time. Anywhere. In any circumstance. You see, I always win. I can never fail in my life. Imagine you wake up from the bed with revelation in your head and in your mind, in your heart. I can never fail in life. How beautiful will it be? I can never fail. I can never fail. Things begin to walk around you to make sure you don't fail. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I can't fail. No, it's not possible to fail. You know, in your heart, your heart is scanning around the possibilities you have in God, the advantages you have in God. That's why you're speaking like this. You understand your place in Christ. You have seen what he has done for you. There is no way you understand that Jesus has done all of these things for you and think failure. No. There's provision for us never to fail. That's why Paul said, if God be for what? Who can be what? You think, why did Paul say, let us boast about these things? Let us boast. You boast at their point, you boast about the word of God, the things God has done for you. You boast with them. When we say we can't sin, it's not pride. It's not pride. We're not just being pessimistic. We're speaking based on substance. Faith is a substance of things, hope for the evidence of things. Now, the substance is the written word of God. What God has done for us on Calvary that we saw in Scripture. For instance, Romans 6, he said the old man has been crucified to the cross. The old man has gone back to that tree. That's what the Bible said in the Amplified. It said the old man without the Holy Spirit is gone back. I've seen it in Scripture. Verse 7 now says, he that is dead, he's freed from sin. Freed. You're not going to be free. How many of you died with Christ? Listen, you are freed. That's what the Bible said. Maybe I should say the word of God said, so that you get it more. God said you have been freed from sin. How many of you believe that tonight? If you've been freed from sin, there is a way you attack life now. When sin comes knocking at the door, you don't cry. You don't say, God, please. You go to it and say to it, I can't sin. Satan will always suggest, after this service, he will suggest. He will suggest an addiction. What you have been addicted, he will still suggest that you should do it today. Don't think that if you go home, everything will be cleared. No, he will still bring some thoughts. But the Bible says, subjecting every thought that seems to raise itself above the knowledge of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. You subject them down. Firstly, said in verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. The demons in the realm of the spirit, all of them, they are as powerful as their thought prevailing in your heart. If their thoughts are not prevailing in your heart, they are not powerful. Remember, God said they have no power. But the only way you give them power is if when they lie to you, then you believe the lies. When you believe the lies, then they put their legs on you. They eat breakfast and dinner on your neck because you have believed their lies. But if they come, the battlefield is the mind. If they come, they throw wrong thoughts to you and you subject that thought by the knowledge of Christ. That's why you need the knowledge of Christ. It's a tool for your victory. When you subject those thoughts, what happens? They are less powerful anywhere they are in the realm of the spirit. They are as powerful as their lies prevailing on your inside. If they say you are weak and you believe it, they finish you. If they say mommy will die and you start crying, you see that? Paul says, show me your faith and I'll show you my works. James, sorry. He says, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. If you are crying, that simply means you are not in faith. The first suggest to you, mommy, what if mommy dies? Mommy is in the hospital and the devil comes, what if mommy dies? And you don't believe it. You are claiming you don't believe it, but you are crying. Why are you crying? Because you know mommy will die. In your heart, you are seeing the possibility that mommy will die. No, you change it into laughing sessions. That's what we call laughing sessions in the spirit. Well, you have prayed in tongues enough. You have believed so much, start laughing. We've seen that manifestation so much in Kenneth Hagin's meetings and Kenneth Copeland's meetings. You see them laughing for like 2 hours. I was watching a live service with Pastor Bill, when they were saying, Kenneth Copeland, Pastor Bill, and some men of God, they said, I think Pastor Mark Hawkins too was there, and they said, COVID, when they were suggesting that COVID will make sure, and during COVID, nobody will be moving again, there will never be a time where we'll move like this again freely. You know, they suggested something like that. And they came and gathered in their hall, you know, a few of them, and they say, government say we'll never move again. They started laughing. They laugh for over 30 minutes. Ha, 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 ha. If you look at it, you'll be wondering if these people are drunk. But you are not so far from the truth. They are drunk with the word of God. Be not drunk with wine wearing in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. When you speak under the influence of the Holy Spirit, people will think you are drunk. Jesus said she's asleep, she's not dead. If you were there, you see this man has taken kai kai. When you say, I can never be poor, and people look at your lineage, they'll be wondering whether you are mad. It doesn't matter what your grandmother did with Azor spirit. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your grandfather did with what's that to put demon? Aleku. It doesn't matter. What matters is a new creation. You are a new creation. All things are gone, brother. Are you getting on trying to say? Never. You can't trace me to a lineage that are doing wrong things. No. You know, way back, one of my pastors gave me, he said, sir, my lineage, I observe everybody marries when they already impregnate the lady. I have a feeling I will soon be like that. I said, you will not be like that. Shut up. I said, you will not be like that. Keep your mouth closed. I didn't subject him to prayers and fasting. I just told him, go, you will not be like that. I told you that. Because sometimes when you tell them, go and do 100 days fast, they'll be doing it out of desperation, fear. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. What was the problem? His people have impregnated ladies before they marry, so he's scared. That was why he's talking like that. No, you are not supposed to be like that. And he went back knowing he can't be like that. Well, he didn't end up like that. He married before he had children. You had a vision and you saw one snake pushing you, pushing you, pushing you, pushing you, pushing you. And your great-grandmother face just appeared. Pia. You now wake up. You are taking a 30 days fast. What is the reason? You want to kill that snake. No, you war with the word. You don't war to kill snakes. You war with the word. You stand firm on what God has said about you. It's called fight of faith. You don't fight Satan. You fight to making sure the word of God becomes a reality. Because when you stay with the word enough, it will change you. Like Jacob. He said, I will not leave you except you bless me. He stayed with the word. And they hit his word. And something happened to him. He was changed. When you stay with the word of God enough, you will be changed. You begin to walk towards the path of fulfilling destiny, fulfilling prophecy. Are you listening to me? You can't just sit down there. The leper guys, they said, if we sit here, we'll die. If we sit here enough, we'll die. If we go there, they probably may kill us. Anyways, we'll still go there because that's where the glory is. So in case they will not kill us, we'll get fed. We'll eat our food. We'll be okay. And they stood up from fear and went and faced their fears. But when they got into that city, nobody was in the city. God has already made a way. Everybody ran for their lives. And they ate and drank and drank and drank. In fact, they carried gold and saved. When they were done, they now went and called the king and said, nobody's in the city. Lepers became billionaires. Because they had the impetus to stand with the word of God. They had the impetus. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? They heard the prophecy. They heard it. Why do you think they stood up and said, let's go? They heard the prophecy. When Elisha spoke, lepers heard that. Elisha said, the next day, food will be plenty in Syria. They'll be eating, they'll be buying and selling, and etc. And of course, Israelites did not step their leg there because the king and his advisor were disputing that fact. It was too good to be true. Too good to be true. But the leper said, well, let's try our luck. Let's try our luck. It doesn't matter who you are. If you decide to stand with the word of God, you come out with a testimony. Pastor Chris said, when you stick to the word, you come out with a testimony. You definitely will. Well, the new supermen like E.W. Kenyon say, our times have never been seen upon the face of the earth. We've never been seen. See, what your capacity is different. What makes you up as a new creation? It has never happened to anybody upon the face of the earth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The makeup for the new creation, it has never happened to any human being. Never. Take, for instance, a few of them. We started reading in Romans. If you look at 1 John 3 and 9, what did he say? He said, they that are born of God. I want us to read together. 1, 2, read. 1 John 3 and 9. Give me the NKJV rendition. Just the NKJV. Want to read? Are you in this church this morning? Read out with a loud voice. Want to read? Wow. Wow. Because. How many of you are born of God? Somebody will say, no, me, I'm born again. That's why I'm sinning. Mm-mm. He said, if you are born of God, you can't sin because his seed is in you. His nature is in you. Paul amplified that. He said, we are partakers of God's divine nature. I don't like dull churches. When you hear the word of God, you get sparks. Don't be dull. If you are born of God, the seed of God, the nature of God is in you. Is in you. It's in you. Why will you be sound as a preacher? No wrong thing tied to your reputation for years and for eternity, you stain with the word of God, the true word of God. Not your office as a pastor. It is the name of the Lord that is a strong tower. And he has given us a name above all names. He has made us to partake of this glory. I heard somebody say, I can never be like Jesus. I'm just like him. I felt, this is, this one is confused. I can never be. Listen, he said, Father, let them share in our glory. The glory you have given me, I give also to them. Is that not what Jesus said? He has given you his glory. He didn't say the shame, the suffering. He said, listen, you didn't die, but he said, you died with me. You were buried with me, and now you are qualified for the glory. So stop looking for the pain. Take the glory. Say, I have the glory. He said, you are partakers of his divine nature. And have escaped, not trying to escape. Second Peter, you have what? More like escape velocity. You have escaped the corruption in the world through loss. You don't live like you are trying to be escaped. You live knowing you have escaped. See, I tell you, you win more like this. This is how you always win. Know that you have already escaped. Not trying to escape. Live life with a consciousness that you've won already. You are only just acting the script. Anytime you are faced with difficulty, know that you win again. Because you had won before. He dealt with the enemy before he said, you are a new creation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is the victory over every stupid thing upon the face, every dark things upon the face of the earth. This is why you enter BS, you are untouched by the enemy till you finish. You are not trying to survive BSU. You are the light of BSU. You are not trying to survive Uniagric. You are the light of Uniagric. Religious light always hide from the world. True light is the light of the world. Did you get what I'm trying to say? Religious light is what? Always what? Hiding from the world. I told you about a compound in BSU way back. They invited me to come and stay. Those days in BSU, I don't know if they still do it. They would tell you, we want you to join our compound. Because everybody there was into this strong holiness movement. And when I got to the gates to look at the room, I already knew that this is not my house. When the brothers and the sisters were coming out, I saw them, everybody, not wearing earring, everybody said, no. If I stay here, it's doctrine I'll be arguing. I need where I'll explore the world. And I almost ran from where I'm supposed to explore the world. The next compound I went to, I prayed one night, and the landlady called me the next day. They had a meeting with me. And they warned me not to pray again. They didn't know me. So I called Pastor Charles. Some of you know Pastor Charles to be close to me. I said, they want to have a meeting with me, a second meeting, because I prayed more that night. I said, you represent me. Tell them I'm not available. So he went for the meeting. And while they were talking, they said, it is the last warning. If you see the young woman, she's more like a third wife, I think. And Pastor said to her, he said, do you know who you are talking to? I'm talking about. You are telling him. While they were arguing, a lady came to me, to my room that morning. She said, Pastor, I'm happy you came to the compound. For the first time in like 2 years, I prayed in the night. I said, that's lovely. She said, I've not been praying at all. Please, sir, be always praying. Thank you for coming. It's God that brought you. That same night, the first night in the place, I called. I saw some boys there who were from Living Faith. And I called them, the president that time, that one that used to give us instrument. I said, what is happening in your compound? He said, sir, why are you asking? I said, I see a meeting. A lady wearing black and meetings happening around her. She said, don't shout. It's opposite my room. They are lesbians. They come for meetings. We all know them. I said, what opposite you? And you've not set them on fire? She said, sir, that's why God brought you. So guess the people that were having meeting with landlady trying to pursue me, lesbian community. Because my prayers set them on fire. I tell you, you will not believe what I'm saying. That compound, men used to come and sleep with women in their rooms that time. They call it Sodom and Gomorrah. That was the nickname. And I said, I'm going to set this whole place on fire. I remember my neighbor that time. A man was entering the room, and I don't want to go into details. There was some stupid noise, and I woke up in the night. It was even Theophilus Sunday's song. I first played it, and my spirit was hovering upon the sound. I took like 30 minutes to hover. You know when you open the prayer with sounds like thunder? It's as if the wall was shaking into pieces. Immediately I spoke the first tongue, the sound stopped. There was a quickening in their spirit. I observed the sound stop. I didn't stop there. Pakato kapelia. Meeting has ended. Japakaba. In the name of Jesus, no immorality can happen in this compound. They were hearing me. I was fighting Satan by fire, by force. Nobody can be born of God and live in sin. Satan has come. I was preaching in the prayer. He's destroying your lives. I heard movement. Our guy is going back. The next day, another meeting. Wait, they had like 3 meetings. But you see, the Bible said, if they don't welcome you, go. One of the meetings, they said, we'll refund your rent. Then Pastor Charles told them, oh yeah, refund. That's where fear started. There was no rent to refund. They now went and looked for a way, borrow, and refund. And now went to another company again. This one too. Fire. It's a struggle. They come out and smoke in my front, the front of my room. That's where they were smoking. I was at the edge. I'll be smelling some kind of things. I didn't know what was that. But I have an idea that that was close to Igbo. Because I grew in the barracks. So one day, I opened my door. They were like 15. They thought I had gone out. Because I was always indoors. I said, in the name of the... get out of this place. They stood up and they were running away. So somebody there, that was my classmate, came to me. He said, sir, we thought you left already. We don't always see you in the compound. I said, this should be the last time in your lives. In the evening, I now called them for evangelism. I heard they were cultists. I started speaking the word. I hit cultism on the head. I said, if you enter into cultism, it is because you didn't have a revelation. In cultism, you are wasting your life. Anybody in cultism entered because of ignorance. I remember I was counseling a guy from Union Creek after a meeting with a student. He followed me and received Jesus. And he said he wants to tell me something, that wherever my house is, he will follow me to the house. From Union Creek, we went to Villa Suit. While he was entering my compound, as he entered my room, he said, sir, what are you doing in this compound? I said, I don't understand. He said, as I was entering, I saw all our gang people. There were plenty. They live here probably. I say, yes. He said, sir, you are in a cultism environment. I say, no problem. Tell me your problem. He said he entered cultism because there was a lady he liked. And he couldn't get the lady in the community. And boys were beating him up. Anytime he goes close to the lady, the senior people will beat him. And the only way he could get that lady was to join their gang so that he would belong, be a man, and get the lady. I said, really? And I said, where is the lady now? She said, she's married. I said, oh my God. And you are a cultist. She left you in cultism. Well, it's not her fault. You enter to get her, she's married, you are still a cultist. I say, what a shame. So what do we do now? I say, I want to receive Jesus. I say, yes, very fast. And when you receive Jesus, leave the city. He was done with school. When he received Jesus, he left the city. Hallelujah to Jesus. I remember we were preaching like this on a Sunday. A boy was supposed to join cultism that day. Pastor Peter brought the guy to church. He was supposed to join that day. We were teaching fire like this. This guy went back home. They called him on Sunday to come and join. They had an arrangement. He said, I'm not joining. They flogged him. He said, I will not join. They flogged him. I'm not sure like Jesus, but close to Jesus. He still said, I will not join. I think he fainted or something. Fell on the ground. Koboko everywhere at his back. He said, I'd rather receive this thing than join cultism. He did not join. Hallelujah to Jesus. A lady called me in Nassau and said her brother is misbehaving and she doesn't know what's wrong with him, blah, blah, blah. Seeming like he wants to join cultism, blah, 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 blah. And we started praying for the brother. The night he was to join, He went back and came back. Went out again in the middle of the night and came back and told his sister he wants to talk to her. In the middle of the night. Say, this night is the day I'm supposed to join cultism. But I got close to the place. I came back. My spirit is not allowing me. And the sister held his hand, led him to Jesus, and that was it. Satan has come but to what? To what? And to what? When you don't have vision, everybody will lead you to anywhere they want you to go to. You were destined to be great from the beginning. Yes. Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I had known you and had called you to be a prophet to the nations. We all have a call, a specific call from the Lord, both men and women. Are you all listening to me? But the enemy has come to what? To what? To what? Whatever steals from you is from who? Whatever kills you is from who? Whatever destroys you is from who? The devil. And of course, you will not allow that to happen to you. How many of you want to fulfill prophecy tonight? You want to fulfill prophecy about your life? You've got to stand with the word of God. You've got to. Paul spoke to young Timothy. He said, give yourself wholly to the things I've taught you. He said, give yourself wholly to them. Nobody will teach you how to pray. Go and pray. You want to fulfill prophecy? Go home and pray. I tell you the truth. Nobody who ever gave themselves to prayer came out defeated. Came out regretting. I'm telling you from experience. They prophesied my downfall in this city from campus. Some people said I will not get anywhere. But I looked at the Bible and looked at the Spirit. And said they cannot determine my destiny. For promotion comes neither from the north or from the west. But it comes from above. I stood my ground. See, my only confidence today as I speak to you is prayer. That is why nobody can steal my prayer time on earth, in the heavens, except Jesus. Of course, Jesus is prayer. So he wouldn't steal my time. Nobody. Are you here tonight? I can never envy anybody because I can pray. I never feel defeated. I can never be defeated because I can pray. I know I can never lose because I can pray. And even when it seems like I'm losing, it is strategy for plenty. I can't lose. I only win or win. Are you listening to me tonight? So young people, listen, don't be distracted by every wind of doctrine. My spirit is moving around that direction this morning more. You think you are a revivalist, but the things you are focused on is mantles and mantles and mantles. You will go nowhere. You go nowhere. The cloud of witnesses are fathers of faith. Paul called them cloud of witnesses. He says, saying that we are surrounded by so many cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us. He said, lay aside weight. Of course, if you check the scripture, we are talking about doctrine here. Weight of doctrines. Dogmas, the religious dogmas, which will amount to nothing. He said, and the sin that easily besets. I did that many times. Look for my messages on the cloud of witnesses. He said, and set, look forward to the prize that is set before you, Jesus, the author and what? Finisher of your faith. Who is the author of your faith? Christ Jesus. Who is the finisher of your faith? Why are you looking for mantles? The mantles around are cloud of witnesses. How many of you put it was relay race Paul used, racing that Paul used to explain that? Cloud of witnesses means a huge number of people gathered around watching an event. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They are witnessing an event. The starting line of that race is who? Jesus. The finishing line of that race is who? Jesus. Where should your eyes be set? How many people have you seen in a relay race looking at the crowd? Even though you have people cheering you, you don't look at them. Your gaze should be on the prize. Are you listening to me tonight? If you say, okay, they say, for instance, in India, we have Burma, Abyssinia, Mogadishu, Dalit. Yellow, that's yellow. Burma is yellow. So if I was in Burma, I said, let me use it. I put my hands and I'm saying, they're saying Burma, Burma. And I'm like, Burma, Burma, Burma. Even though they are cheering me, it's a good thing. I will not arrive anywhere. But the one that set his eyes on the price and is just looking at the price and running will force me to reach the destination. I don't know why Christians today are on a race. Jesus is the starting line. He's the finishing line. But they are receiving instructions from Elijah. Why? From Moses. They are in the cloud of witnesses. Are you listening to me tonight? And the only thing they are doing is cheering you up. Move, Simon. Move, Samuel. Move. Get it done. Jesus is a real deal. Get it done. If you get Jesus, you change the world. You don't need my mantle to change the world. Everything that will call mantle in any father of faith is the measure to what they touch in Jesus. I wish you get what I'm trying to explain. Is the measure to what they touch. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They touch Jesus, let's say 20%, 50%, 60%. And when they left the earth, we called whatever they've experienced and encountered a mantle. No. Remember, anything you call mantle is a measure of what they've taught in Jesus. Everything is in Christ Jesus. We honor them, but we pursue Christ. Because if we major on their measure, or if we major on their mantle, we'll be limited. The Lord help us to understand this wonderful morning. As beautiful as it is that we're honoring and trying to receive that measure or mantle they had received, we're limiting what we can touch in Christ Jesus. I was in a bus traveling to Kaduna before I closed one time, and there was this vibrant young brother. I could tell he loves the Lord. I can call his name because he was really blessed. His name was Daniel. So blessed. And he was wondering whether I was a Christian. You know, a sound Christian. Of course, I didn't look shabby, so he knew I was a Christian, but maybe not fiery. I was on my just casual wear, jeans, and my bag was at the back. I was going to for a program. And he said, are you in BSU? I said, yes. Then he said, what fellowship do you attend? I said, GCMI. He said, oh, Apostle Simon. I didn't know I was an apostle. He said, Apostle Simon. He said, I've heard his messages. My goodness, that man of God is blessed. I said, oh, yes, our papa is blessed. I mean, he didn't believe that I was that, you know, I felt disappointed. I didn't know I was that casual. And while we're going, he said, wow, I've heard of him and said some beautiful things. He said, but I want us to discuss something. I said, what is it? He said, revival in BSU. I said, okay. He said, there is no fire. Like we used to hear about people that pass through BSU. There's no fire. I said, okay. He said, what do you think is the problem? I think people are not hungry. Like they used to be hungry those days. I said, I think that's a problem. Maybe not really the problem, but I said to him, I said, hungry for what? That was my next question. He said, they are not hungry to collect those mantles that men who pass through this system had. That's why we cannot do so much in the system. We need to catch those mantles. I said, brother Daniel, I think that's a problem you guys have. So I said, so you stay 2 hours, 3 hours in that court calling for a mantle? I said, if it's like that, you will never see a revival. The revival we are saying is just in our head. It will never manifest. All those pictures you have, that as you are walking like this, people will kneel down and start crying, we want to revive. All those things are fairy tales. I told him the gospel is the power. I said, we have sound men that understand the gospel. Men who are sound in the word. Men who understand that Jesus is the author and the finisher. I kept on teaching and teaching and teaching, and he was more like, wow. I said, forget about mantles. Focus on Jesus. If you must change the system. Jesus is the answer, not mantle is the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. God bless our fathers of faith, but the Bible says, they without us are not made complete. There's something we will touch, and that's Christ Jesus. They'll make sure that whatever they've been pursuing is fulfilled on the earth today. If we don't touch Christ, their assignment, they will not feel fulfilled wherever they are in the realm of the spirit. That is why they are called cloud of witnesses. They are not in the cloud of witnesses to dictate what happens upon the face of the earth. They are there to cheer you up. Are you listening to me? And I've been hitting this for years. It's dangerous. Especially because of where I came from. The first time this thing started happening, I told my wife, I said, where I came from, there will be problem with this doctrine. Someone said, I was speaking with Isaiah, that's why I could not see you. I said, Mama T, I know where I came from. If they start all of this Isaiah and Elijah thing, where I came from will amplify it. I came from Kaduna. I know what our boys there can do. They are not bad people. But I know what they will do with doctrines like this. If these people are saying they went to meet a man of God and he said, sorry, I came late. I was talking with Isaiah. We had a long meeting. I said, we have to stop this nonsense. We have to stop it. Saying things so that it's not really far from the Pharisees. The Pharisees always wanted to be like demigods before the people. You want to say things to make you look amplified like a superman of God. It's not in the Bible. You have the Holy Spirit. What are you getting schooled by? Through Elijah, through Isaiah, through Jeremiah, filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus did not say, I will not leave you helpless. I will send you Elijah, and whatever he has heard of me, he will show you. No. Did he say Elijah and the Holy Spirit? Did he say Isaiah and the Holy Spirit? He said, I will send you the Holy Spirit. Aros Parakletos, another of the same kind. Meaning the Holy Spirit is Jesus in another style. Put it like that. You have Jesus teaching you about himself. And your pants in your heart is looking for some mystery, some might that don't even exist. Because you think yourself of that you are less powerful. You are not less powerful. I heard somebody saying we are no greater than angels. You see, it's just that we are privileged that when we speak the word of God, angels now follow. But you are never greater than an angel. And I looked at him. It's just his human, you are being emotional. You are just being emotional. Listen, you are a billion times greater than angels. You know why you think you are not? Because you are in high level. And your toilet is outside. So you think, no, listen, I'm not trying to condemn you. You see yourself less because of your environment. You know, you've not seen angels come and bow before you and say, morning, Rebecca. You probably have not tested supernatural things. You have not spoken and things happen. So you see yourself very ordinary. The Bible says, to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand? But to the Son, he said, for your throne is forever established in the heavens. The Bible said, we are seated together with Christ. Is it for a time? Is it for a moment? Is it forever and ever? How many of you are accepted in the beloved? Imagine every morning you wake up, you say, I'm getting accepted. You are not getting accepted. You've been accepted. You have been privileged to be called the Son of God. Now you are the Son. Stop acting emotional. You are a Son of God. For as many as have believed in his name, to them he has given what? To be called what? How many of you are sons? To which of the angels has he ever said? But to the Son. He has come to bring many sons to what? Are you a son of the living God? Are you in the glory? He has made you in charge over all the works of his hands, including angels. He has crowned you with glory and honor. Don't because you are in Makodi now, you think angels. Listen, you are the one seeing yourself less. He has told you how to see yourselves. He said you are come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord, in an innumerable multitude of it. Meaning you are here, they are everywhere around you. And do you know why they are where you are? Because you are there. More like hotspots. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In an innumerable multitude of angels, where the spirit of just men are made perfect. No wonder Paul said you have come into a cloud of witnesses. He's seeing that you are surrounded. You are the actor now. Elijah is watching you. Hey John, get it done. Isaiah is watching you. Hey John, get it done. Bishop Bessie Dausa is watching you. Hey, get it done. They are all rejoicing. They are watching you. Give them a show. Give them something to get them excited in the realm of the spirit. Overcome every time. Win every time. Get the sick healed. That's how you throw a show in heaven. Wow. But again, may now tell Archbishop Benson, I said, that guy is behaving like you in Nigeria. He's behaving like you. Yeah, he's even doing more than me. He has touch even better. Wow, I never seen that before. Not that they watch to the atrium and they see us putting earring and arguing whether tattoo is a sin. What a shame. And Bishop will watch Smith Wiggles what, and will ask themselves, what the heck is happening in the Nigerian church? What was the debate? Is tattoo a sin? So, no, I tattooed John 3:16. Well, I tattooed Isaiah 11:6. I mean, I'm preaching the gospel and you are preaching. You tattoo your own. You can tattoo a quote. If anybody be in Christ, it's a new creation. Because the Bible you read and your mouth, your tattooed words are now what we preach with, not your mouth and the Bible. Jesus wrote it on his hand. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe we can break a rema there. He nailed the nail on his hands. He says, see. So when I draw something on my hand, you see. Such a shame. I never wanted to get to that stupid topic. It's very irrelevant. As a man wearing earring, is he a sin? You are very indisciplined as a Christian to ask such a useless question. We don't even have your time. Leave everybody to dress the way they want to dress. I always used to say that. Everybody will change as the word of God hit them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's why in this church, no matter how you dress, I would never open my mouth and say, hey, come here, what is that? Mm-mm. As long as you are hearing the word, adjust with time. Adjust the way you want to adjust. But I know you can't hear this word of God for long and be looking the way you are looking. It's not possible. It's not possible. I will never condemn anybody's dressing. You come to me, I've never made anybody feel bad in terms of dressing. But I tell you the truth, you can't stay with the word of God enough and continue like that. And you have to be intelligent, because when you start speaking in a certain tone, certain direction, Satan will take advantage of that foolishness. He will make them feel as if you are condemning them. So when we learn that early, we learn to keep quiet. I told you, when a brother was doing videography here one time, I was looking for him. He was driving me to Abuja every time, and Kaduna, and anywhere I'm traveling to. And he was stopped on the road like 5 times, 3 times because of his hair. One day I say, God, now I didn't condemn him. That's why he was my driver. If I condemned him, he would not even be my driver. So I'm trying to paint a picture that I never condemned him. But one day I said, what if he cut his head? He will not stop us on the road. And when they are stopping, he's so proud. He'll just say, I'm driving my pastor, and he will wind down. And when we talk, they will allow us to continue. One time they now say, let me see your phone. They were now calling him Yahoo boy. I got so pained. Because I opened the car. I said, why are you collecting his phone? He said, why does he have Binance? I said, are you that foolish? You don't know Binance. Me too, I have Binance. Am I a Yahoo boy? So I spoke to them. I said, you can't be behaving like this, police. So I got offended because they didn't allow us to go very early. We had to speak for a while. And I told myself, I'll go. When we get back home, this guy will cut his hair. His own is not dreadlock. His own is Dada, Bob Marley. They were long. You know that Rasta man. And while I was looking for him on a Tuesday service, his name is David. Where is David? They say, see him on the camera like that man. And when I raised my head, David was looking cute on low cut. And I'm not saying if you don't have low cut, you are not cute. But just look decent. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It's just the truth. See, we have to be honest to you as Christians. Sometimes we don't want to hurt your emotion, but we have to tell you the truth. Are you listening to me? Else we are painting a wrong picture for Christianity in the generation, for the next generation to come. We are painting it wrongly. What our fathers gave us is not stage light, though. It's not stage light. It's not screen. And it's not smoke. They gave us literal smoke, literal one. You understand? Not artificial smoke, real encounters. We can't be passing the next. Say, what if you want to get, if you want ministry to move, package. Let light, buy screen. Wear suit. Do this, buy microphone. Standard one. And ministry will move. Somebody will sit under that atmosphere with cancer and die. Does AC heal anybody from cancer? Huh? If that person comes here where heat is catching us now, and gets healed, will he want to go back to where they did not heal him with AC? You know, I heard somebody saying in a denomination, he said, Hallelujah challenge has caused problem for the church. Our members are not in one church, one Orthodox church. I was just smiling. I said, see, in the days of his power, the people will be willing. You can't use all those bow down, hit your head on the ground to deceive people again. The times are gone. Somebody is having real time problem. You are telling him hit your head on the ground. For what? I remember Bishop Oyedepo telling the story of a Muslim woman that brought her child. She said she heard he was coming to the city. She brought her child who was dead. And when he stepped into the city and was walking, I think, went to the child and was, as he was trying to hear the story, they said the child came back to life. She stopped being a Muslim from that day. It's not about we just prove Muhammad useless. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I know somebody's looking at me and say, we worship the same God. Listen, this is the last thing I will say. We don't worship the same God. Preach to them like you are preaching to unbelievers. I was reading the news and I saw that the first pastor in Sudan was killed. What was his offense? Being a Christian. They killed him legally. The law says he should die. What kind of a stupid law is that? I was reading the news again. A lady died from rape. They raped her. She came and reported to the authorities and they killed her for allowing herself to be raped. What kind of rubbish is that? You can't. I'm sure some of you saw some news recently that if you dress with trousers, they should rape you. You deserve rape and even death. In a part of this country, a lady was not wearing her tie. They beat her up. Cowards. And I said to some leaders yesterday, I said, preach to them like you are preaching to unbelievers. Preach to them like you are preaching to unbelievers. The Bible speaks about false prophets. False prophets. He said they will rise. Before they spoke that part of scripture, Muhammad had not come. You are reading something and somebody is telling you that I don't even know where I'm going to and you are following him. You follow who knows road. And I tell you Christians, you know some of you as I'm talking now, you are getting scared for me. You are getting scared. Say, hey, Pastor, don't talk about Muhammad. They will kill you. Who the hell will touch me? Me, I'm not a prophet that only ends in the Bible. Oh. Are you listening to me? We have to change the world. Are you listening to me? Time to fulfill prophecy. Speak to them like you are speaking to unbelievers. I've gotten more than 10 Muslim people converted to Christians. I'm still counting. I've gotten more than, because I had the boldness to tell them that was wrong. From Kaduna till I came to Makurdi. Some, it is through Facebook, they called me and we started speaking. They changed. Some were scared of their parents, so they changed location. Keep on preaching Jesus. See, their days are numbered. I was given a prophecy one time. I saw the thing, their flag or whatsoever torn into pieces. It is, their days are numbered. I'm telling you the truth. And you need to know the wave of people turning into Christianity. Forget this rubbish they are doing. They don't have impact. Even in their so-called country, people are turning into Christianity. They are turning and becoming Christians. And Christianity is not a time to be cold. Be hot. Be hot. Are you listening to me? Be hot. That's how we get our nation turned, changed. This is a solution for our nation. I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, we are claiming that the North are having problems, we want to move with the Biafra, blah, 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 blah. Well, I told them something. I said, a time will come that even if these people, Biafrans, are not really strong in the wisdom of God, there will be another problem in that country. And some people will be trying to break out. And I told them, the only solution is righteousness. It exhausts a city. He said, but sin is a what? Report. Make people know God. Cause people to know God. When an evil man is in charge, he will behave like a kingdom man. When a thief man is in charge, he will behave like a kingdom man. But people who are not strong in God, when they go there, they'll be lying. They'll be saying all sort of nonsense. They'll be doing all sort of atrocities. How many of you here want to become politicians in the future? You see, that's the problem. If you want to become a politician, raise your hand up. Stand up. I want to see you. See, be bold about it. Don't be, there's nothing bad there. That's why they are doing us like this. Hallelujah to Jesus. We've got your back. But you know what you start doing now? Hold on to the Lord. So that when you get there and they give you one stick, you will not collect. Are you beginning to try and say? So that if they tell you, let's visit one mama, you will not follow. Imagine that you are a politician, you are a governor of the state. Huh? Pastor John, you want to become a governor? I didn't know. All right. It's good. Imagine you are a governor of the state. And you are my spiritual son. Do you understand? And Fulani are displacing people. And you come to me for counseling. Say, sir, what do you think we should do? I will tell you, kid, create for me a kingdom army. Call the army kingdom. Are you listening to me? This one is not cho. We'll go back to people's ancestral home. We'll see, if you want to employ me to join the army, I can join your spiritual father. We'll stand at the front. People will go back to their villages. You know, there's a threat in this city. People are not in their villages again. And you think we cannot change this thing in one day? It can be changed. It's just compromise. It can be changed in 24 hours. In less than 24 hours, everything can turn. Imagine you became governor. Fulani man did not give you money for campaign. They can't control you. Imagine I gave you the money for campaign, which I will give all of you. Imagine you campaign with one man bag of rice. Who dares that? I'm not talking about the city boy movement. I'm talking about one bag of rice. Not 20, 15 kg. Who will not vote you? Sit down. Listen, let me tell you, who will sponsor you? And that's why we're moving towards prosperity the way we're moving. That's why we're going to raise billionaires. If I want to enter, we'll give you like 5 billion to go and do campaign. 5 billion. Comes to that point, you vote for KPC. You vote, carry your bag of rice. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Vote, carry your bag of rice. What are you talking about? Vote and carry your bag of rice. We are not just doing that. When we enter, everything gets stabilized. Satan will pack his load and leave the town. Vote and carry one cow. What are you? For you and your kindred. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Glory to God forevermore. And those days are here in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking about the generation going back home tonight and saying, oh, I'm leaving court season. That's the generation I'm talking about right now. You are going back and removing your hand from anything that is not of God. Going back home and telling your friends, you see, I'm not following you to Alaji anymore. I'm talking about such a generation. Can I get a big amen? A generation going back and saying, that life, I'm not there again. I've washed my hands. I'm not doing that again. Do I have a people here who are agreeing with us? Going back and saying, you this boyfriend that all we do is rubbish, I wash my hands away from you. I'm talking about that generation today. A generation that want to see prophecy fulfilled in their life. How beautiful will it be? That a man called Daniel, in Daniel 9, he saw what was written concerning Israel. He said the time has reached. He began to pray, and suddenly, because of one man, an entire nation was liberated. I'm talking about you and I. That because of you, your family are liberated. Because of you, your village is liberated. Because of you, your nation is liberated. I'm talking about you and I. That you are going back home and you are beginning to rewrite destinies by your obedience to the word. You are saying, let us stand up and go. Even though we look weak, we are lepers, we are standing up and entering the city because wars have gone out. Wars have gone forth. James says, show me your faith and I'll show you my works. Because works is the proof of faith. I'm talking about the people that after this service will go and dust their vision again. And say, I'm going to start all over. A people that will go back and make sure they are consistent with the system that will make for them attaining destiny. Go back and keep on studying small. Go back and keep on praying small, pushing small. Knowing that this little effort you are making will cause you to interface with your help tomorrow, your Ebenezer tomorrow. Are you listening to me? Go back and start making progress. Go back home. I'm talking about a generation saying, I want to make first class. Maybe you are a student in this place and your first result was bad. Go back. Don't stop. Keep on reading 3 hours. Keep on reading 4 hours. The first one may be bad. The second one will match up. The third one will match up. Till you come up with that class of degree. That's what I'm talking about. The Bible said, when the word of God comes, Satan comes and what? Brings tribulation and trials and etc. around our way to make sure that we don't believe the word of God. Or we consider the word of God to be false. But not you and I. We know whom we have believed. and were persuaded by him. Do I have people who are ready to shake their families in this place? Let's be on our feet as we pray. Do I have people who are ready to shake their schools in this place? Do I have people who are ready to shake their places of work in this place? Go ahead and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and begin to pray. I can't hear you. Time to fulfill prophecy. There is prophecy over me. I can hear you. Barakaba shakabaya. Aya. For there is prophecy over me. Aye, it's never too late, oh. Parakaparakaya. I can never be small. I am whom God says that I am. I and my children will fulfill the word of the Lord. I am my generation. Barakabaya kabaya kabaya. What God has said concerning me must come to pass. There is prophecy over me. I can hear you, somebody. Go beyond the doubts and pray. Go beyond all the doubts in your heart. Go beyond the doubt. Speak God's word. There may not be trace. There may not be trace that these things God have said will come to pass. But I choose to believe the word of the Lord. He said by this time tomorrow, and there were doubts in the city. Many were doubting, yet it came to pass. God, if you have said it, you can do it. Baranabosha, Benakamba, Oniakada, Riananosa, Aniakadi. Rebakona Nialosa Maria Ronja Niabata Iana Baconia Rabadia Rota Bandeca Maria Cabaya Dota Parora Kema Coratia Caba Liarona Bashema Covariato Rebacom Baradi Banado Baradea Ania Comba Niarota Riara Bocasa Rabata Ebola Caria Baconia Rabata Bonia Cabora Lagada Rabacadia Corabana Naba there is more. Prophecy over me. Umma kabo baba rapega, embede koba yakaba baboraka. Ada bakaya baya, ebo kaba lekara, ere bakaba baba baba. Ayaboya, eh. Oh, there is prophecy over me. I cannot give up now. I cannot pray, my Lord. I must fulfill His curse. Listen, I want to say this and we pray one more time and end this meeting. I remember listening to my Smuro years back and he said one thing. He said, lying in the graveyard. Firstly, he said the graveyard is the most richest environment you could ever find. It's a line in the graveyard are destinies that were never fulfilled. Prophecies that never came to pass. Many of them. And he says something at the end. He said, it is up to you to make sure what God has said comes to pass in your life. I remember listening to his words. My spirit went straight to Joshua 1:8. He said, the book of the law will not depart from your heart, but you will meditate upon it day and night, so that you what? Cause your path to be prosperous and have what? Good success. How many of you want to see whatever God has said concerning your life come to pass? I want people who their heart is burning with fire tonight to pray. These things should set your hearts on fire. You don't want to live an ordinary life that you just had children and you just passed through the earth and that was all. You want to fulfill everything that God has said concerning your life. Are you listening to me tonight? Everything God has said concerning your life, if it is becoming anything he has said for the body of Christ, you want to become it. Are you here tonight? These are the people I want to begin to pray right now. Nobody should push you to pray. You are ready to embrace the yoke of discipline. The yoke of the discipline of prayer. My life will never make sense to me on the day of my leaving the earth if I never fulfill destiny. You know that. Picture that. And say, Lord, I will never live an ordinary life. I will never. I will become that beautiful, wonderful person you've destined me to become. Inside, outside, lift up this prayer. Whatever I need to fulfill destiny, I interface. Lord, if it is the spirit of prayer, may it come upon me now. If it is the right association, may I interface them right now. Help me, Lord. Holy Spirit. If it's an idea, give me that idea now. If it is an execution, Holy Spirit, help me to begin to execute all the ideas in my heart. Eva kona na mayano shana bari arorota hi ana mo shara bagadear o yara bagadaria kona makande ba yakole aba emana kona barakatande kabande ena bakomba babanda kandi yakarabaya omba kaba baba baba barakadia komba baba emba kora da baba bali akaba emba konshia baradia bonda katenda onda bereke ya boragadia kabarada le baro bo yakaraba yakaba baba 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 yakona na kada bola karaba le koza kaba baba eba bomba pepeke de boya era bakaya baya boya kaba baba baba baba. Go ahead and pray. Barakaya neko maka eba lia ronsa lika anato barata elata pa ka ba 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 ba.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.